It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour Tua of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQM. Are you taking down slices of pizza?
Yeah. I went there for round two. I said, Papa John.
I had a feeling today was going to be one of those days. I had a feeling. Let's get the headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, the Taos, the Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. It is Miami Heat opening night, people. They welcome in the Orlando Magic. Tip-off is set for 7:30. 6:15 is when you get going with, or is it 5:45? 6:15. We get going with the Miami Heat audio experience pre-heat. Pat Riley will have the court named after him at halftime. Eric Reed from FanDuel Sports Network Sun is going to join us next hour. We'll talk to Eric Reed about Pat Riley. He did a sit-down one-on-one they're going to air tonight. Special one-hour pregame for the television coverage tonight. Usually it's only a half hour.
It's normally, what, 30 minutes?
Normally 30 minutes. Tonight it's okay. An hour because they got this Pat Riley exclusive that they're
going to air. And it's open tonight.
And it's open tonight,
sometimes,
baby.
It might be open tonight. I think it's really cool because Pat Riley went from the forefront to the background to way in the back. But we all know it's still Pat Riley.
Godfather show, man.
Right? You know what I mean?
According
like to... he sits in the stands overlooking.
He's got his little platform there with Zoe. I was talking with Zoe about this yesterday because he hopped on and he goes, I'm like, what's it like watching these games? He goes, it's miserable. Especially when they're not winning. It's like, you know, they don't have any control over anything in there in that spot as a spectator. But Zoe was funny, man. He had some great pet stuff on Pat Riley. The Dolphins from Barry Jackson, he tweets out, with Braxton Berrios lost for the year, the Dolphins were scheduled to work out some receivers today. He says they have a few options: sign a new guy to the 53, sign a new guy to the practice squad and promote D. Eskridge, who he says has return abilities, or Eric Azukama. They could also elevate Eskridge. He has one elevation left to the 53 man, so they could do that. And apparently if they do that, they would only have to clear one roster spot for Tua, who's obviously going to come back from concussion protocol this week.
So basically the practice squad is like 10-day?
Yeah, but I think you only get so many promotions. Yeah, like a two-way. Right. It's like a two-way.
A two-way.
Yeah, it's like a two-way. So that's something to keep an eye on, what the Dolphins are going to do there. Man, Azukama is always so good in the preseason. I can't believe he stinks.
You know what? It's a different – the hardest thing to do is get comfortable playing football regardless of what the circumstances are. Right? Like, teams look at it as, I've seen you do this. But sometimes the player's not thinking that. You can't, like, it may be the biggest and best opportunity you may ever get. You're only going to fail when you start thinking of it like that. You got to think of it as just, I'm going to play football. And so a lot of guys get, when I hear guys with interviews, and they talk about how big it is and this is huge and this is that and this. No, dude, to you, it's a football game. The circumstances in which you perform are always going to be the same. You go on the field, you try to perform.
Right.
So, like, and don't worry about the outcome. younger players tend to worry about the outcome more than the process.
Well, speaking of receivers, Tua, in the non-concussion category, did talk a little bit about the football team. And he was asked about the idea of the team really struggling to get the ball to Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle in his absence. Here's what Tua had to say about that.
Listen, I think it's really tough to ask any of our quarterbacks to come in to do the footwork that we've been doing for the past 2 years, to see fast guys running and seeing the space that's there and asking them to kind of process all of that. We looked at film, we were able to see what we missed and what we could have got better with, but it's a team sport. It shouldn't take one position for this whole thing to crumble. Everybody needs to be on their P's and Q's as well.
I mean, I don't know, Tua. I mean, that's nice of you to say about the quarterbacks, but oof. Like, I get it. You know, it is a team sport. We always put way too much into the quarterbacks, but if those quarterbacks are stinkers, oof.
My question is this. As an offensive coordinator, if you have a guy that you've done all this stuff with, can't you simplify the route combinations for the next guy? So, for example, you ever hear to say, oh, they're going to give him a nice three-level throw. You got a shallow cross, a mid-cross, and a deep post or a deep corner, right?
Yeah, they call it the lasagna.
So you got one, two, three. They're right in front of you. You're rolling out to the right. Pick one. Like, why couldn't we have done stuff like that? Like, it's still, like, every receiver knows how to run a damn route tree. You going into a game and changing that route tree doesn't mean all of a sudden the damn wide receivers don't know how to run routes. You know, you got to
try. Do you think it was so much as, like, he really wanted them to be conservative?
Like, I do. Because, again, to ask somebody else to come and make decisions the way Tua had to make decisions – is unfair not only to the team, but to those guys. So basically he tried to go into his playbook that kind of made reads easier. They weren't those quick throws. But then you put your quarterback in trouble because now you're patting the ball back there.
It is amazing how much a guy like Mike McDaniel, who we were saying, you know, old wheelbarrow balls, you know, he would go for it no matter what. He'd go for it on his own 20. Bad quarterback will make you get conservative quick.
Is he any different than any other coach?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Right. Like, it changes you as a person, you know?
It almost seemed like it broke Mike McDaniel as a man, not having to. He's like, dude, I'm shook.
Yet,
I'm broke.
Yet he
I'm
did,
trying everything.
Yet he did tell the media that he told the team, Tua is not our savior.
Across the board, I think everyone would say that he's the leader of this team. So I think that's a powerful thing that, you know, his team will appreciate. But, you know, I think it's important to state and to you know, what I just finished talking to the team about is that he's not the savior either. There's a lot of things that have to be looked at from an individual's game and you know, all three phases to get better because
right now,
you know, it's not,
I'm for it because the rest
now.
Of it's lies.
Let me tell you something. You know, as much as I like Mike McDaniel and I support what he's trying to do and I get the dilemma that he's been in the last few weeks, that's a lie.
Liar.
Okay, that's a lie because I'm gonna tell you right now. If they say Tua's coming back. And everybody all around the city say, oh, Tua's back. Right? Watch how fast these routes that Waddle and Tyreek run it now.
Coach, if he's not the savior, like, you think like some smart-ass player just goes, how come we just heard you cry tears of joy before the meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank God. Mike, we just got the final clearance. He's good to go.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. Oh, I missed him so much.
As a coach, you're always going to say you're going to say the Eric Spoelstra words in your own way.
Of course. We have enough.
But that's a lie. Okay, we knew that when the Heat were playing.
Oh, my God.
And we said, we got enough. Who is that? That's what we say. Who is that playing?
Spo would say that when he had Henry Walker going out there on a 10-day. He goes, we have enough. Oh,
my God. So
yeah, enough bodies to fit a team.
Hey, we get what everybody's trying to do. And you would hope that you could have somebody to hold a fort down. But let's be clear. There's certain positions on your football field, okay, that are on your team or in your organization that without them, you don't function. Did you see the damn Philadelphia Eagles or did you see the New York Giants without Saquon?
Man.
You see what I mean? It's day and night. That's okay. You got that dude. But we can just plug somebody. You ain't pay that man $40, $50 million because you can plug somebody else in.
100%. Like, look, there's a reason they've referred to him as highest paid employee before the season started. Like, you can tell me he's not the savior, fine, but
why are you giving him all know. Money to say he's your savior?
We all know. There's a reason why quarterback's the biggest line mover in the game. It is what it is, you know? Like, I agree. It can't all be Tua. But, like, we've all very much noticed, like, my God, it has been all. And, by the way, it ain't like he's coming back against the Ravens, you know? Like, let's go. Let's go, dude.
It's like when the rope breaks on the lawnmower. The lawnmower technically still works, but you can't use it. Don't start.
All right, well, enjoy your Cleveland roasting session. We'll talk to you in a bit.
All right.
Take a break. Back with more after this.
It's our number Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
All right, welcome back. Tobin and Leroy. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Let's get to 50 minutes of Game Day Uncensored here, which is brought to you by the Lexus RX, the luxury SUV for those who never want to lose their edge. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Dolphins are getting ready for the Arizona Cardinals. They're back at the practice field today. Kickoff set for Sunday at 1 o'clock. 9 a.m. is your Game Day Uncensored for myself and Solana. Of course, Adam Beasley, Omar Kelly will stop by the program as well as the Finns look to start getting their record right with Tua now making his return to the team. A lot, of course, made about his press conference, how defiant he was, a little bit of piss and vinegar in Tua's press conference. He's tired about people talking about his future, the concussions and all that, which I understand. It's going to be impossible not to think about it every time he tries to be anywhere near contact. That just is what it is. Like, you know, I know he's saying, you know, this doesn't happen with other athletes. I would agree he gets more of it because he plays in the most popular sport in the world, and he is definitely the face of that right now. But we've also seen very scary reactions, and the reaction to those players has been, you know, calling it a career. Think about, like, Luke Kuechly. I was thinking of Luke Kuechly crying on the field. And how great that guy was, but, you know, just stopped. It was done. Andrew Luck, tired of being in pain. So, but I think the thing with him is I think this was supposed to be the FU season for Tua in a lot of ways, too. You know, this was, I got my money, you know, threw the middle fingers up to everybody, kicked a little dirt on Brian Flores on the way out before the season got going. And, you know, it obviously has not gotten off to the start with not only the performances on the field that he had against the Buffalo Bills, which I know was buoyed by some terrible receivers out there. Some dude from the Green Bay Packers. I was told by Dairyland Express that guy was going to be one of the big regret cuts. It was not. Trust me. He's not here anymore. You throw in a Robbie Chosen. We kept bringing back Robbie Chosen every time Robbie Chosen was here. Other than that one play he got from Mike White it would end in disaster. But, you know, the team, look, this the good thing about this is this NFL is very bunched up. The opportunities are still there for them. They win this week. Do I have a lot of hope they can go to Buffalo and win? I would say my hope is very low, because that's like believing in Peter Pan.
So say they win Sunday against the Cardinals.
Yep.
You're happy, right?
Of course.
Say they do what you love. They score 30 points. And you get to see the, you know, the waddle, and you get to see Cheetah do Cheetah celebrations. Then they go to Buffalo.
Yep.
And then say they lose. How are you going to feel after that?
Like it's really not going anywhere.
But you're going to feel great after Sunday if they beat the
Cardinals. Of course. I will feel great just because it'll be great to watch enjoyable football again. But they have to beat the Buffalo Bills. And I said this in week 2, and I got made fun of. I got laughed at because I said week 2 is a statement game. And I was 100% correct.
There's context to that, bro. The guy had a concussion. That's when the guy concussed.
He got concussed when the puppy was in the bag already, Vlad.
The puppy was in the bag.
When was the concussion? What were they down? 35-10?
No, they were not down. They were not down 35-10.
What were they down?
They were down 2 possessions.
Dude, that team wasn't moving the ball.
They were. They were in the red zone. He got concussed in the red zone.
And they were already down. He had just thrown a pick 6.
So, but they were about to score and make it a 1-possession game.
Were they?
Yes.
Were they?
Yes.
I don't think so, dude.
And I don't even believe in your team, and I was believing that they would score and make it a 1-possession game. Buffalo wasn't blowing them out offensively.
Because they didn't have to. They kept giving them the ball.
Miami was driving on that team and was turning the ball over.
Probably the biggest problem of this Dolphins team this year, other than not having their quarterback, is they don't stop giving the other team the ball.
Okay.
They do that all the time in, like, epic fashion. But they have thrown the worst pick 6s. They have had punts blocked. They have had epically bad-timed fumbles. This team's ability to give the football to the other team when they're rolling is probably their biggest problem out of anything. Undisciplined, cannot take care of the football. But that Bills team, if you thought they had a shot in that game before Tua got concussed, you're crazy, dude.
I didn't think they were at a shot, but you guys were struggling prior to that and just before that game. But what I'm saying was, they were driving. They were moving the ball on Buffalo that game. They just, like you said, mistakes, bad mistakes, turnovers, penalties, whatever.
Dude, they were down 31-10 when he got hurt.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were.
You sure?
I just looked.
6 minutes left?
The last pick 6 was made it 31-10. It was over.
Well, I guess I'm wrong. Yeah, I was trying to shoot you some bit.
I appreciate that. That's nice of you, but no, it wasn't close. It wasn't close.
It was bloated.
It wasn't close. Okay. It hasn't been close. That's the thing.
But then here's my question then.
Mm-hmm.
Even prior to him being hurt,
yep,
he wasn't moving the ball and the offense wasn't looking
at
anything. So what makes you think that he's coming back after 5 weeks of not playing and it's going to happen just like that?
Here's what I would say.
Ta-da.
This is what I would say. I would say in the first game, they probably should have put up more points. Again, they shot themselves in the foot a lot. It was not a very disciplined game. But we got to see their identity. We got to see deep passes to Tyreek, and we got to see it to Waddle. Took a little bit. Took it to the second half to really get it going. But I think that they showed themselves to be themselves in that game. Now, the Jags suck. It is what it is. The thing with them is, this is right up their alley. Average to bad team at home. This is kind of the Dolphins' playpen in the Mike McDaniel era. Like, if you're a good team at home, or a good team in general, they don't handle you very good. But Arizona's in that way. I don't think they're good. They're fun. They got some fun. I like watching Kyler Murray play football. But they're kind of meh. They've been feisty. They've had some good wins in division, but that division's looking a little worse than we thought it was.
Right.
So I think this is right up their alley.
But this is what I'm trying to prepare you for, Tobin. See, if they win 31-10,
yep,
34-13, you're going to be excited.
Yes.
You're going to be happy.
Will I feel froggy about the Bills game, though? I don't think so.
You're not going to feel froggy.
I don't know. I don't think so.
You.
I think I can't.
You. What?
I would be a sicko to think that.
You're already a sicko.
That's fair.
But
I don't think I will.
Tobin,
I got to see it, dude.
You're not. I swear. Yo. Tovin, if they win big and they look, Tua looks like the Tua prior to the injuries, like last year's Tua.
Who do the Bills have this week?
They have the they have an easy game. It's nobody. I think they got.
No, they're in Seattle.
Oh, no, you're right. That's not a tough game.
Easy. Tough it's never game. An easy trip.
I thought
never
they had Tennessee, trip. But they just played Tennessee Sunday. No, that's going to be a tough game. That's cross country.
Yep.
And that's a 12th man. That's a and they're feeling a little froggy after beating Atlanta on the road.
Still, what are they? They're still road favorites. Yeah, they're still road favorites.
What, 2.5?
3. It opened at 2.5.
Wow, no respect for Seattle in their first place in the division.
I know. We'll take a break. Mix things up. Coming up next. Sorry that Galen was being a chatterbox, Vlad.
Chatty body?
Yeah, man. Let's get to the mixed bag here, brought to you by Heat Goosies. We'll start off with some heat. Got opening night tonight. Tyler Hero. Boy wonder.
Mature.
Very mature. Very mature, dude. He said yesterday, when talking about his durability, which is always a concern. A lot of it's been on Jimmy. I think the stranger thing is you have a kid who's been in his early 20s. Can't get him through a playoff run since the bubble. Can't do it. Well, hopefully this year's different. Here's Tyler Hero saying he owes the organization City a lot.
Being healthy, that's my main goal for the season. Is just being healthy, being available, being on the court for you know, my teammates, coaches, the whole organization in the city. You know, I think that I owe it to them to be on the court as much as possible. And unless I can't walk or I can't do something, I'm going to be on the court this year.
Goosies. Man, I love that from Tyler. Yeah, you mentioned, Vlad, he's been more, much more mature in his answers. He's also just had a – I will say, you know, Tyler's always been a very low-key guy. Good kid. Very good kid. Works his ass off. But, man, I've just been noticing him smiling a lot more. And I know this may seem goofy, but he just seems in a much – better place. Mind you, very much had the rabbit ears with social media. He'd do the subtle likes on things that, you know, really bothered him. And I don't know. He just seems like he actually maybe has hit that age or time where it just doesn't seem to shake him anymore.
He seems over the summer just following him on you know, on socials and all the answers that I've seen him give when asked questions. Seems very happy, very comfortable. That's another word. Like, he's comfortable. Maybe he knows.
Yeah.
He's comfortable in his position. He's comfortable. Like you said, he was being an a-hole last year. He was all in his feelings because
he said that. He did say that. His quote to Ira was, "I was in my feelings." Even this idea that he doesn't want to be a catch and shoot player. You know, he wants to use his bag a little bit. But damn, dude, you're a good shooter. You're maybe one of the best shooters in the league. It's not an insult. They want you to shoot maybe 10, 11 times out there.
It's like you said this earlier. If you're 19 years old and you're coming to the city of Miami and you're playing for the Miami Heat and then you have success early, and it's not like some little success. You had great success.
Yep.
You got to the NBA Finals.
We were comparing his stats to D. Wade's playoff run his rookie year.
So it's like,
it was insane.
Right. And then all of a sudden you're everybody's favorite now.
Right.
And, you know, ladies are lusting for you, the whole nine, and then all of a sudden now your affairs are public fodder now. He seems like a guy who's, I'm with my lady, I've got two kids, I'm comfortable. I got my bag. I know what I am. I know what my role is. I'm expecting a big season from Tyler Hero this year.
I hope so.
Barring any injury, I expect a big season from him. I just like his whole demeanor, bro.
Me too. I agree with you. Another guy whose demeanor I love, Max Holloway. Max Holloway is fighting this weekend, Vlad. I cannot wait for this fight. For the fight fans out there, be forewarned. Although this is kind of beneficial because I don't have to stay up late. 2 p.m. main card for UFC this weekend. So I would imagine 16. Probably right before the Canes game is when the main event will be. But Max Holloway is fighting Ilia Topuria, who is the featherweight champion. Max is going to try and become a 3-time featherweight champion. Of course, he had the knockout of the year. Everybody saw that knockout that he had at Justin Gaethje where he was winning the entire fight. Round five, 10 seconds left. He points to the center of the octagon. They throw bombs. He turns Justin Gaethje into a meme, wins the BMF belt. Coolest knockout of the year. It's not even close. Nobody's even a close second. But this Topuria is a knockout artist, too. He knocked out Alexander Volkanovski, who beat Max Holloway three times. He's talking a lot of this, and he's saying a lot of – and I don't like what's become of MMA Twitter. A lot of people are not respecting the legend that is Max Holloway. Mind you, this kid came into the game like Tyler Herro, 19 years old in the UFC. Champions. He was fighting Conor McGregor when he was 20. And I'm talking prime Conor McGregor, and didn't get finished by him when Conor McGregor was finishing everybody. But Max Holloway – He's being asked about his signature move, the point to the center. That's his thing. And, you know, you think about Ricardo Lamas, Korean Zombie, and, of course, what happened with Justin Gaethje. Now, he's talking to Poirier, where he's like, well, I dare you to do it in the first 10 seconds. And Max Holloway is saying, dude, don't tell me what to do. You're new. And quite frankly, he hit someone with one of the biggest schoolyard insults there is on Ilia Topuria. Here's Max Holloway at Media Day.
Out of all the things he said, is the whole I'm going to point at the floor in the first 10 seconds thing the one that kind of makes you roll your eyes the hardest?
Yeah, because it just makes no sense, you know? At the end of the day, to me, I don't think he deserves. You got to earn that right. I don't think he deserved that right. I mean, you know the guy that he's copycatting. This guy's a copycat. You know, down to the tattoos, to his aura, to the way he's approaching fights. The guy's a copycat, and you're best friends with the guy he's following, so trying to copy. So at the end of the day, I think you got to earn that moment, and I believe he had that. He could have earned it with Josh Emmett in their 5-1 roar. Josh Emmett was trying to swing. If you guys can go back to that fight and watch what happened, when Josh Emmett was trying to swing, someone shot and someone held someone down for the rest of the fight. So I think the moment needs to be earned, and he's just trying to steal stuff, you know? He's already trying to steal one person's aura, and now he's trying to steal somebody else's thing. So it's amazing.
There. Call that man a thief.
Called him a copycat, Vlad.
By the way, copycat's harsh.
That's harsh,
you
know, dude.
When you were 6, 7 years old, and somebody called you a copycat, that was it.
That's schoolyard right there, man.
Who's he trying to copy? Connor?
He's trying to do Connor. Because okay. That was Connor's reporter. And he goes, you know who he's trying to copy. He's trying to be little Connor. And I don't know, man. I'm taking crazy pills. I mean, Max is a 2-1 underdog. A lot of the young guys have taken over, but Max isn't old. Wait, he's only 33.
Wait, Holloway's an underdog in this fight?
Yeah.
I'm putting this
is like Benoit St. Denis getting all that love against Dustin Poirier down in Miami all over again to me. I'm sorry. I've seen this guy in too many wars, kicking ass. I don't think he can outstrike him. I don't think it's possible. I think Taporia's going to lose, and I think he's going to lose bad. I don't know. It just is one of these things. I just feel like to disrespect this man, Max Holloway, but you know, is crazy to me.
What I love about what Max says, you don't even deserve to get my finishing move. Like, you don't even get my power.
Yep.
Like, you don't even get my special move, like the point to the middle of the ring. You don't get that. You haven't earned that yet. I'm just telling somebody you haven't earned the respect to get your ass beat.
Topuria is good, but I don't like it, you know, like there's some people you just shouldn't trash, like because they're just legends, and he's one of them. Like, really, dude? Oh, point in the first thing. Like, the whole point of Max Holloway doing it when he did it, why it was cool, is it was unnecessary to even put yourself at risk.
Right, he was winning the fight. Like, he was actually putting himself at risk. Like, one hit a quitter, and it would have been over for him. He could have, and we're talking about Dustin Poirier.
Yeah.
We're not, Justin Gaethje, we're not talking about, like, you know, some noodle
very arm, dangerous
noodle arm, noodle punch guy. We're talking about a dangerous guy. And winning the fight clearly decided, all right, for the fan and for entertainment, let's go out.
I've been feeling very much like an old man UFC fan lately. I probably feel like that people thought when, like, Kimbo got me into the game. And they're like, oh, Kimbo. You like Kimbo? I'm like, yeah, I like Kimbo.
I know what happened now, Tobin. You've been a fan of the fight. Of the MMA for such a long time,
like the punks.
You don't like the young guys.
I'm not an O'Malley guy.
You're not relating to them.
I'm not. I'm not. Something about me. So I don't. It's not the game I loved.
You like the old the old classic, the old timers. You know, you're probably still a John Jones fan. Still,
oh, the best.
You know, I mean, come on. You know, you still love. You know, you tolerate Connor, but you know that Connor's past his prime.
Connor's never fighting again. I just wish we would all just do. And you want to know something? You know what I think would make everybody happy? I think maybe Connor's got too much baggage for this. I think Dana White, he seems so angry all the time. I think Dana White, he needs to go, I don't know, be secretary of something for Trump. Get out of the UFC. He doesn't seem to like it that much anymore. Make Conor McGregor the president of the UFC. You make him the promoter. No, none of this. Stop fake fighting stuff. He's not fighting anymore. He does too many things up his nose, allegedly, to make me think he's ever fighting again.
Oh, he likes the booger sugar with his whiskey.
But let me tell you something. I was watching this kid with BKFC. That Conor McGregor can promote. He can promote the hell out of these fighters. He would be great at it. I don't know.
By the way, I got to show respect to, one of the legends of UFC and MMA.
Mm-hmm.
Conor's rival, the guy that fought.
Khabib.
Shout out to Khabib for keeping it real, Leroy and Tovin. John Jones was asked who's his top five fighters of all time. He put Khabib on there.
Mm.
Khabib said, while I have no problems with John Jones, never met the man. He has problems with my friend.
Oh, DC.
Daniel Cormier. So if you got problems with my friend, you have problems with me.
Loyal.
Ooh, that's cold.
He kept it. So I was like, oh, man. Oh, and don't get no more real than that. Like,
that's cool.
I got no problems with him. Never met him. Never had any alter. But he has a problem with my friend. I can't be friends with you if you have a problem with my friend.
Do you know who are their fun frenemies is Max Holloway and Daniel Cormier? They roast each other nonstop. Like Max Holloway walks up to his interview with him and he goes, Daniel, what are you, 300 pounds? Just like, jeez. All right, give you one more here in the mixed bag. Mario Cristobal, he was asked about the defense, Miami giving up a lot of points, but the Canes coach not concerned.
I don't feel concern. Feel urgency, you know. I mean, it's almost, you know, for a fact that we're better than some of the things we have shown. And that we need to be consistent in showing we got to get there. And you get there together, you know, during the year. I mean, the one thing that really stands like strong in our program is, you know, it's there's no division from within. Can't have it. You know, you just this football stuff. I mean, you see week after week, man, it is absolutely insane the way that some of these games go. And so you've got to take the fact that, you know, we may win some games 52-45 and we might have to win 1-3-2. You know, we don't know how it's going to come and when it's going to come. So until then, together, move forward and press on and just find a way. Find a way to get better. Just, I guess it's that simple. Just get better. Just get better, you know?
Tobin would cry if they won a game 3-2. You know that, right, Leroy?
What are you talking about?
This game? If the Canes won a game 3-2.
Not possible.
What do you mean it's not possible?
I mean, it's not possible. Like, they put up too many points. Like, it's never going to happen.
But you just heard the coach say that we might win a game 52-45. We might win a game 3-2.
Ridiculous.
You see?
It's a ridiculous statement by him. I will tell you what will get your defense better. Playing FSU.
I thought you were going to say Blue Chew.
I already did it for the day. But I'll save that one. We'll take a break. Back with more after this.